is going to talk to you guys about community, conversation, and conversion. Let's give it up for Brian. Here you go.
None of those wildly uncomfortable things while we stand here. We're from Boston. I'm here from Barracoat, and I've got a couple of my teammates here. And actually, I found out that tomorrow it'll be warmer in Boston in the middle of February than it is here. So maybe next year we'll get them to do the conference in Boston. But I am going to talk about a couple of topics, and I want to start by, did most of you see the keynote this morning? Brian, I think it's Brian Sisson's keynote. Yes, Hintz, come on, yes, yes. I thought that was really, really powerful, and I was really excited by that because that ties into a lot of the things that I'm going to talk to you about here. I've been doing marketing for a very long time. I started my career way before most of you. For the last couple of years, I've been CMO of CA Veracode, a company that does computer security, cloud-based security. Before that, I ran marketing for another security company called RSA, which is about a $1 billion security company. And kind of back in the day, I'd run my own business for a number of years, too. So I've seen marketing from a lot of perspectives, but today was one of the most optimistic sessions I've ever heard on marketing because it gets at one of the biggest challenges I've always had and one of the biggest frustrations I've ever had with marketing as a marketer and one of the biggest challenges that we're trying to break down in our organization. So basically, right, we all know this is kind of the cartoon I pulled, but we all get the idea of marketing. You heard it this morning, right? You can read this, but basically, you know, marketing's always had kind of a bad rap, right? Marketing is about manipulation. It's always frustrated me, and I've always felt a distance between how we did marketing, our goals, and a lot of what Brian talked about this morning, the goals of our audiences. And so a lot of what we're going to talk about today is something we've started to call unmarketing, which is how do we rethink a lot of the concepts we've had about marketing, how do we flip the lens around and actually get out of the business of thinking about what's in it for us and get into the business more and more and think about what's in it for our audiences. The reason we had to do that is for a long time, Veracode, we sold to security people in companies. So the chief security officer of your company would be a client for Veracode. And those are people that are used to buying technology. They understand how technology works. But at the same time, we had a brand new category, and we had to evangelize the category. And you can't evangelize a category by talking about a product because nobody cares about the product if they don't know about why the category matters. So even before I got to Veracode, the company had developed a very strong skill in content and education and that kind of evangelism. But recently, we've had to market to a whole new audience, which is software developers, the people that make software. And those are the people that have a tremendous, they're allergic to marketing, right? They will not respond to classic marketing. They don't want to be sold to. They don't like talking to other human beings generally, right? Everything we love to do as marketers is the opposite of what they want to experience. As consumers, new consumers of our offering. So we had to really rethink our marketing approach in the light of these people, which is, we get to this concept of unmarketing, which is just, the idea is just a phrase to say, let's kind of rethink a lot of what we did and how we're trying to achieve, what we're trying to achieve with marketing. Now, that's not to say we don't do demand generation. We have a very, very strong demand gen engine. I'll talk about how that ties to this. And in fact, I think we're having our strongest demand gen performances ever as a team, even as we continue to focus more and more on educating a marketplace and educating an entire new audience. So what I'll do today is talk a little bit about how we're doing that, the journey we're on towards this concept, whether you want to call it, you know, human-centric marketing, people, business to people. It's the same ideas about how you flip it around and think of marketing in a whole new light, and I'll take you through the way we're thinking about that from a content point of view, how that ties to our demand generation capabilities, but also how we're now extending that past the sale. And that's something that we talked about a little bit this morning, or you heard, is that our job is not done when we get the lead or get the order, especially in our business, which is a SaaS business. I don't know if many of you are in that kind of a business where you have recurring revenue from the same customers. Well, a lot of your long-term success depends on your ability to renew those customers. And so more and more, we're also thinking as a marketing team about how do we extend our footprint deeper and deeper into that world. So I'll start with a couple of big concepts, then I'll take you through how we're driving those into everything that we do, right? So the rules of unmarketing, right? The first is kind of, as a mentality, it's not, don't think about it as marketing at all, it's public service. It's how do we take the expertise we have about the problems we're aware of and educate the marketplace on how they can solve those problems, right? And one thing you'll see as you go through a lot of the content that I'll show you in our maps, you'll see very, very little about Veracode or Veracode products. right, in the high-level marketing that we do, and even the mid-level marketing. So it's the idea of flipping your lens around, saying, rather than how do I do marketing to get a lead, get a contact, get an SQL, MQL, whatever acronym you like to use for leads, how could I use my marketing engine, my budget, my tools, my resources, the people in my organization, simply to help the world do this better, whatever it is we do? And that goes to the second part, which is when you provide that expertise, there's a level of trust. You have to trust that when you do that, the market will respond, people will engage, and eventually that will convert into opportunities, revenue, all the stuff you need to do as a commercial enterprise or any organization that has any kind of a mission that you're trying to fulfill. So the idea is flip the lens around, think about everything you do in terms of achieving that goal for your audiences, provide that expertise, right? Trust the customer, trust they will engage the right way, trust if you give them what they need, they will eventually give you what you need. The third, don't block people, right? This is, I have a joke in our organization that whenever we have nothing left to argue about, we just bring up gated versus ungated, right? It's always good for a good hour-long debate over how we do that. But more and more is that idea of where do you put that line is really, really important. We continue to experiment with all the time, and I'm increasingly a believer in making that line lower. Expose more and more of your content, more and more of your ideas, your expertise, for free, if you will. And free doesn't mean just mean for money. Free means, you know, the other currency you have to get from people is information, right? Engagement. And figure out what that transaction is. And put that point as low as you possibly can in the process. And again, the fourth one, connect it all the way, I say to the sale, but it's actually to the sale and through the sale. And that's another thing I'll talk about is when we talk about marketing, is one of our new journeys is the idea of community. And it's not just a community of our customers, but building a community for all the people in our industry that are trying to solve the problems we're involved in and becoming a center of gravity for that discussion, that dialogue, is another way that we add value, right? So I'm going to talk about that in terms of how we unlock the value in our organization and how we're delivering that out to the organization. And in some ways, it's different than we found. It's different than maybe we might have thought it is and different than maybe what some of you are kind of focusing on. So when we look down this approach, the first thing is what's the value that you have that the world cares about, right? And this is kind of a map. If you look at the center, that's the one that we always think about, right? Our offering. We have a product, we have a service, and that has value. And so we're going to talk all day long about that and how great it is and how that product or service solves somebody's problem. And that's usually what people pay you for, right? They give you money in exchange for that thing. And that's great. But the next rung out is also something that most marketing organizations tend to spend some time on, which is the expertise around that. We not only know how to, we not only sell a carburetor, but we know how to implement a carburetor, install a carburetor. We know how to help you pick the right carburetor, right? Or the right, whatever the thing is that you do, or the right service for your organization. But early in my career, and a lot of my career, and I think for a lot of organizations, that's kind of where you center, that's where you focus, and that's how you think about your value. We've found more and more most of the engagement we have with our audiences is starts with that second one, but actually there's two other kinds of expertise that we're engaging in that is giving us tremendous value back in terms of our marketing, our brand, our engagement with the audience, and equally important, the trust we have with our audiences. So the third is that other expertise, other things that you're really, really good at, that you have that might be somehow spun out of those first two, but they're not the same thing, right? And so that's other expertise in your organization that's important and valuable to the people you want to engage with. And it might not come from your engineering organization if you make products. It might not come from your services organization if you make services. It may come from other places around the business. And I'll talk about in our organization where that came from, and that might kind of be a good example and give you a sense of what that can look like. But the fourth then is, and this is where we talk about community, is expertise you build together with your audiences, right? And to me, this will be the stickiest one over time, which is now you're out of the business or you've broken down that barrier entirely between you and your audience, and it's about you and your audience together building value, building ideas, figuring out how to solve problems, engaging in them in that effort. And so, you know, if you start with the middle is what you do the best, we're finding, at least I believe, and I think we have some evidence in our organization, that the further out you go is the higher level of trust that you get. Right, the more content you're delivering at those outer rings, the higher the level of trust and authenticity you'll have with the audiences that you want to engage in, right? So, give you an example of this, and to know this, I have to get a little bit wonky for a second. Again, what Veracode does is computer security. What we do exactly is, when people write software or they have software and they're worried about whether that software has vulnerabilities, right, bugs that could be exploited, And if you want to know how big a deal that is, that's what happened to Equifax, right? Was they had a bug in software that could be exploited. WannaCry and Petya, these things you hear about in the market of bringing down organizations, those come from flaws in software. But people write these software programs, many people are involved, they write them over months, they're huge, and so finding all those problems is hard. So they upload their software to our cloud, we scan it, and we go back and we tell them where the flaws are. You know, the simplest analogy would be spell check, right? They send their code up, but we tell them, you know, the equivalent of spelling errors, we just tell them where the flaws are, and we help them to fix them. We tell them what to do to fix them. Okay, so basic description of what we do, right? When we think about, there we go in here. Okay, so I already talked about this classic definition of value was these first two. That is that new definition of value, right? So you think about our world, is in the middle is that what I talked about, software scanning, right? We give us your software, we'll scan it, we'll give you back some flaws, we'll help you fix it. That's the core of our offering, right? And that's what people pay us for. But the next rung out has become very, very important to us, which is how do you actually write secure software? Because we've scanned 6 trillion lines of software. We know a lot about what good looks like and bad looks like. We actually then provide knowledge. We used to charge for it, and now we're starting to provide more of this for free to help you figure out how do I write good software. This is very important as we realize the new audience we want to engage with software developers, they want stuff for free. They just help me do my job. I want to grab something online. I want to use it. I want to keep going. I don't want to talk to somebody. I don't want to break my cycle. I might be doing this at 3 a.m. after 19 Red Bulls, right? I'm a software developer. This is how I work, right? So giving that expertise for free starts to build that relationship. But that third rung is where it gets really, really interesting, right? There's this concept called DevOps, which is a new way people write software. Right, it's a new way they write applications, and if any of you are dependent on software, have software in your organization, the applications you use, they're moving toward this idea called DevOps. You don't need to know a lot about what it means, but it's basically a new concept in creation of software. It requires bringing your teams together, thinking differently about how you make software. It's a cultural change, it's a technology change, very, very radical, right? Well, we make software. We have cloud software. We had to learn how to do DevOps and do it securely to make our own software. So what we did is we found the engineers in our organization that are really good at that, and we found we're ahead of most of our potential customers, and we've exposed them out to the marketplace, and we're creating a raft of content around how other people could do this. Directly, there's not a penny in that for us. We don't sell DevOps. DevOps is a concept. It's a set of processes and methodologies, right? But we found by exposing those people and that content out to the marketplace, we're engaging an audience in a way that we never could if we started with our products. And then the fourth, and that rings kind of a light here, you can't see it, but that shared expertise is how are we all transforming software development? So how are we together figuring out new ways to make secure software? Right? Our buyers have a mission. They want to keep the world safe from bad people online. They want to reduce hacks. They want to reduce loss of customer information. They want to make the world safer for all of us. So tapping into that mission by working together with them to say, how do we all do that together? Right? So that's that content flow as it applies to us, but I'd ask you to think about in your organization, apart from your product or service and apart from how you directly deliver it, where are the places in your organization that may have expertise that's really, really valuable? You know, we're mining and looking at others in our organization. We know how to actually build, operate, and bill SaaS, you know, cloud-based software services. A lot of people now are moving into that space, and they don't know how to do that. That may be value we can unlock. So it may come from how you bill. It may come from how you make things. It may come from your quality control processes. But think about the adjacent areas of expertise that you can unlock for value. The other benefit there is that's something if you're doing and your competitor's not, you have an avenue of discussion of value with your customers and prospects that your competitors will not be engaging in. It's a tremendous way to gain the high ground in terms of the discussion with your customers. So that's that process, but we do leverage it through a campaign model. Right? We have these 5 campaigns, and I won't drain them in great detail, but it's important to realize that while we have that great mission I talk about, at the end of the day, we put it through a very, very strong structure. Right? Those of you that were in the session we just had on from Second City, is storytelling has a structure. Right? There's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end. I write fiction on the side when I'm not working, and there's craft behind that, but at the end of the day, if you do it right, the craft disappears, and you have an amazing story. So we build a very, very firm structure for demand gen, content delivery, orchestration of that, behind that, to make sure we're addressing the different audiences, what our brand is, how we're developing, addressing both that security audience, that development audience, how we actually do our products, competitive marketing. And I'll show you more here for our content and how we do this, and you'll find that actually only when we get down to those bottom two, products, competitive, and customers, do we talk about products largely in our marketing. I'll show you some examples of the content we create, how we go to market, and you'll see that very rarely do we talk about our products. But at the end of the day, we're generating thousands of opportunities for our sales team, engaging with large parts of the market, and we're able to grow the business still in the mid 30% year over year for a $100 million company, right? So we're able to generate real commercial value. I say that because I don't want this to sound like it's all good feeling and just educate the market, right? There's a method to the madness in terms of generating value and generating demand, right? So we collaborate like our developers. We actually work like our customers work. That DevOps process, we applied it to marketing, right? Software has architecture. So we think of our architecture, which is that campaign model, right? Then you're making software, just like you write software, we're creating content. And then our operations is not delivering software and operating it in the marketplace. It's actually all the ways we now deliver that content and engage with the market. Public relations, social media, right? Our BDR team. In our world, the BDRs report to marketing, not sales. If you don't have it that way in your company, fight like heck to get it. It closes a loop between sales and marketing. It creates an engagement point, which is very powerful. But right, we start with that architecture you saw. The content is laid against that architecture to meet those needs, and it's delivered in all these methods out to the marketplace. Right? So the category of the content themes, right? So now we take that architecture one step forward, right? So you see these campaigns on the left, now you see the themes, the application security journey, application security best practices, how to do security for the third-party software you bought, this idea of systemic risk, right? That when people use software and propagate it the wrong way, we create risk across our entire economy, right? DevSecOps, that's the way to bring security into that. But you see, none of those are products. None of those are actually about what we do directly. Right, but those are the themes we drive, and you see on the right here, those themes turn into stories. A story is a particular element of that theme that we drive, and those stories turn into messages, and those get delivered out in our marketing. So that campaign architecture you saw, we're in the deep into the second year now with that same campaign architecture, right? I think we've got, we didn't really change, Suzanne, I don't think we changed any of them in our year two. So that architecture stays. What evolves is the themes evolve even more slowly. The stories and messages evolve very quickly. So if you think of a series of gears, the architecture moves very, very slowly. The themes move a little faster, right? The stories move a little faster and the messages spin fairly quickly. And the messages we become very agile with where something happens in the marketplace, and for us, it could be a breach, you know, some poor company gets breached. We can respond very quickly with a message and a story, and I'll talk about that in a little bit too, right? Hard to read, I won't drain it for you, but the idea is we then build that content map against that, right? And again, if you look at, if you can read those top, I'll read a couple, you know, skills to look for in a software developer. We know what that is because we hire software developers. A lot of our customers are just getting into software development. They're trying to figure out what that looks like. So we deliver content at the attract engage level, ungated, right? That whole set of content at the top is ungated, shareable. Now the goal is that we do drive them to gated content, and that gated content starts to get a little more focused around things like reports, research, closing the gap, how to do application security. So a lot of that second layer now is how to actually do what we do. How to make your software more secure, right? And education, again, education for a changing world. So that drives our demand. But again, it isn't really product focused. It's how do I do application security? How do I do my job better, right? And then we have what's called enlightened content. And this is really important for us because there's two levels of trust we have to create. The first is in the company, in the Veracode brand, and that's what those top levels do. The third now is someone's going to engage with them. It's going to be a BDR, we call them BDRs, right? Their first line response. It could be a salesperson, it could be a partner. They immediately now have to build individual trust with the prospect or customer that this person's worth talking to. So we have what we call enlightened content, which is content exclusively used by those BDRs and RSRs. So they have content which isn't on the website, isn't marketed in any other way, that they can mail to their, that they can now talk about and deliver to their prospects so that they actually have unique value as an individual to that person. So now we've got the company trust established, and we have ways very, very quickly and individually to let that person, that 25-year-old, 24-year-old BDR, now establish trust with a chief security officer of a big company because they have some knowledge and some information that that CISO, they call it, chief security officer, couldn't get anywhere else. So I'd also encourage you to think about those two levels of trust from a marketing point of view, not the brand at a macro level. How do I make sure that whoever is going to engage with that prospect can instantly build a level of credibility and trust on their own to keep that sales process moving forward? Right? So the content examples, I'm going to talk a lot about something called the State of Software Security Report. As I said, we've scanned over 6 trillion lines of code, 50,000 applications. We analyze all that data. We have tremendous amount of insight into what makes software secure, what doesn't, by language, by industry, all that. So we create content out of that that, again, is educational content, and we try to turn those into tools, topic videos. We have an interactive web page. We have a tool you can use based on the language you use to write software to go see how secure that is and what kind of bugs you're likely to have. It's free, it's on our website, you can get access to it. Again, an engagement mechanism that educates the marketplace and drives them back to Veracode. You start to blow that forward, other kinds of content that we tie to either thematic issues or just sometimes a little bit of fun. You see on the left, 10 scariest software security vulnerabilities. We put that out at Halloween, we get news coverage for it, right? It's an infographic. But very, very educational. You see in the section there, in the center there, taking that data about application security, and here we drive it down by industry, for example, vertically. We created a developer supplement. So if you're a software developer, we can show you your view. This year, as we were acquired by a company called Computer Associates. They're much larger. They have a government, basically a lobbying presence in Washington, D.C. We gave them a policy maker's supplement. They took down to Washington, D.C. to influence policy around security and application security. So merchandising that data in more and more ways, creating infographics. But again, nowhere on here do you see a product name. Nowhere on here do you see anything other than how do we help people to do their jobs better. Right? So what does this turn into, right? That SOS report I talked about, SOS is short for State of Software Security. You know, we use that all the way from, it's the Thanksgiving dinner, right? It's turkey dinner, then it's turkey sandwiches, then it's turkey a la king, then it's turkey soup, right? It just keeps giving and giving. We use this kind of content this more and more ways, everything from our press PR work, right? 81 pieces of press coverage. All the way through our demand generation, you see there 4,000 inquiries, 1,000 opportunities, $5 million in pipeline, right? Some part of that is closed already. The rest, more of it, will close over time. But that concept that I talked about, educating the market, goes all the way from the brand at that top level all the way through opportunities that our salespeople have. And as I said, you didn't see here, you know, there is specific content, then versions of that, that the sales team now has to follow up on those opportunities. So again, anywhere from that first interaction to that final engagement with the sales force, they're seeing that same story, same content, more and more detail, more and more value as we continue to go forward. Right? So the website, I want to talk a little bit about the funnel and how we think about that, right? We had a challenge, you know, we are a leader in our category, right? With Gartner studies our category, we're a leader in their Magic Quadrant, a leader in the Forrester reports. We're 10 years old, we have a huge footprint in social and in PR. So we usually, our theory is that most people in our category, if they're thinking about the category, they'll come across us sooner or later. So our focus more recently has been not so much on increasing top line traffic on the website, that's up 8% year over year, but increasing the quality of those interactions, what's happening with them, the people, and they come through the door of the website, how deep do we get them in that funnel, how quickly do we get them deeper into that funnel. So the goal was increase that conversion rate, and the percentage is still, you know, we have a ways to go there, but we're able to increase by 47%. The level of interaction we have, engagement, people actually clicking on assets, people registering for content, people taking the next step. So the idea is we had the top line, so we're focused more and more on just on getting that conversation going. And it isn't through gating everything. It's through when they're in there having the conversation, what are the calls to action can we give them to get them to want to engage with us, right? So content flow example, right? Everything from, you know, again, anatomy of how to be basically a superhero developer. That may be the free content. Eventually, you do register for that survival guide, which then takes you through more detailed content. So that flow isn't that unusual, but the idea is how widely you open the aperture at the top of it, and then how you use those mechanisms to convert it down below, right? So kind of saw that the old funnel, this is kind of how we thought about the funnel. Fairly, you know, you're focused at the top. Yeah, you may be doing some kind of brand, but your demand gen is fairly focused. You kind of narrow the target audience, and then you kind of work through that process, and you have a fairly broad aperture at the bottom in terms of how you get people, you know, through that 4 or 5, whatever stage funnel you have. Is kind of, here's how I like to think about the funnel. So A, much more fun graphic. But B, right, widen the top of it out. Make sure, like, we'll have that conversation more and more all day long with people through ungated assets, make sure we're engaging with them. But then how do you actually make that slope really, really fast? Or once they're engaging, you're offering more, you know, you want to chat with somebody, you want to get the access to this asset, you want a demo. Like, putting that side conversation so they can engage more deeply whenever you want them, whenever they want to, but you're not forcing it through those methods to say, what's in it for me is I insist you actually fill out this form because it's in my interests. Trying to break that down where they can do that when it's in their interests, not in our interests, right? So completing that cycle, right, we talked about this, you know, very simple, that attract content, convert, enlighten content, and then empower, right? That fourth level, which is something I'll talk about for a minute, which is community, dialogue, right? The platform, how do we actually get you now, your customer, you're not a customer yet, you're still, maybe you're demoing one of our products, how do we make you successful even before you buy something from us? So that's one of the things we're rolling out now is our, we call it community, and it's not just a customer community, it's three tiers. Customers have a login, very focused community, they can check service calls, they can do all that stuff. You can register for our community so you can chat with other people in the industry, you can help solve problems together, and at the top level, you can just visit it, right? But the idea is the community becomes the center of that model, and I would argue today most organizations have a website, and then somewhere on that website is a link to the community. I'd argue in 5 years you'll have a community, and somewhere on that community is a link to the static content, the brochureware we heard this morning, that's on that website. But the heart and soul of that marketing going forward is how do you engage those people in that community, right? So I call it selling past the close, right? Sales is always told, don't sell past the close. We're big believers in that. So if you go to our community now, again, you don't have to know what these words mean, but you can engage in conversations on how do I solve my problems? How do I make my software better? You don't have to be a customer to do that. If you are a customer, you get access to deeper content. You can tell us what you want out of the product in the future. You can ideate with us on what we should be doing next, but you don't have to do that. You don't have to be a customer to engage in the community. But again, that idea of marketing now, owning that footprint past the sale and having ownership, some ownership of doing that relationship at scale through the life of that customer, right, is something that is doable now. The instrumentation is there, the capability is there, and it's really a culture change. So who's in that community from a Veracode point of view? We're starting to drive our product management people in there, our champions from engineering, our best service people. Breaking down that distance between the best people in our organization and all the people in the marketplace that are trying to learn those skills and do those jobs better. And marketing's job is to get out of the way, leverage the new instrumentation, right? We have that infrastructure underneath, we instrument it all, we'll see what's happening, but get out of the way of that conversation and simply enable it. Don't try to feel we have to rig it and guide it and have these multi-step processes that are very, very tight. Is just create the dialogue, use the powerful tools to instrument it, and capture the results as they come out the bottom. Again, dashboarding it, we measure very, very carefully, but we measure what we're trying to accomplish, right? So our brand campaign on Lead the Transformation, right, we're looking at share of voice, we're looking at social amplification, right? You can see that voice, social amplification, blog subscribers, right? High level of measurement there, but we're measuring what we're trying to achieve, and that's different for each one of those campaigns. Another side benefit you get from this approach, when you have that kind of approach to the marketplace, is then when things happen in your industry that matter, people will come to you to hear about them. So this is share of voice, right, with the volume view. And if you notice that crazy spike that happened Q3 of last year, anybody hear of this thing called WannaCry or Petya, the virus that came out, right? That was that. And we had one of our founders was one of the 10 most quoted, talked about, videoed, interviewed people in the United States and Western Europe on that topic. Largely because, partly because of his brand, but largely because of the fact we're already out in the marketplace educating on that topic. So you notice that our competitors, proportionally, they got a little more coverage, but we're that purple at the bottom there, and you see what happened to Veracode, right? Zero extra cost, right? But when that happened, a huge explosion in our coverage and our ability to own that marketplace, and look what happened after that. We held our proportion, we actually increased our proportional share of voice after that kind of event, and that's something you get for free out of this. Right, but look at other measurements for other move to the developer use case, we measure these differently. Here it's about how often are these words talked about that we want to cover, right? And how do we actually measure? So to sum it up, I'd say is think about your marketing in terms of customer service, right? Engage your audience differently, leverage these social tools, and finally, leverage your content from people on your organization. Look differently about where you get that content, expose more and more of your people to your customers, break down those barriers. That's my story. Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Brian.